Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The constant delay in the release of the Zondo Commission. What on earth is going on here? The State Capture Inquiry, which has successfully applied for multiple extensions of its term, officially came to an end on the 15th of June, and yet the Commission has not yet handed over its final report, which includes investigations into alleged Zuma administration intelligence abuse with the Estina Dairy Farm scam, the Gupta family Waterkloof landing, that needed to be handed to President Cyril Ramaphosa. So what on earth is going on here? Well, we wanted to get a little bit more information. Joining us, as he often does, Advocate Paul Hoffman. He's the director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard, and good morning to your listeners. All good in Cape Town today.
Excellent. What's your weather like? Because, and I'm not asking because I care. I'm really only asking because it comes here in a few days.
I'm sorry to tell you that it rained in the night.
Yeah, that's what I'm worrying about. No, but listen, the rain is good. The rain is good. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, but what isn't good is this whole delay with the release of the State Capture Inquiry. What is going on there?
Well, we've had an explanation that certain challenges have intervened to delay by a week. Report that has been coming since October 2016 when Tuli Madonsela said this problem is too big for me to handle. I think that a commission of inquiry should handle it and it should report within 6 months.
Yes, wow.
6 months of October 2016. Well, we know now that the scope and extent of state capture, the topics that needed to be covered by the mandate that was given to our Chief Justice, it was just so vast that it has taken more time than anticipated to put together the final two chapters. I believe it's going to be Chapter 5 and Chapter 6 now.
Right.
And the one that will be of more interest to the public is the one that contains the pulling together of the recommendations that the commission will make in order to ensure that state capture doesn't happen again. We are hoping, at Accountability Now, we are hoping that the Chief Justice will, to the error.
Advocate Paul Hoffman, I'm struggling to hear you. Are you with? Oh, and there we go. We do seem to have lost that line. Is Advocate Paul Hoffman back?
I'm back. Right. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, no stress. No worries at
perhaps
all.
Perhaps they were changing the tapes at the state security.
Exactly. All right. So now we've got a fresh tape in. They have a fresh tape in and we can continue.
I was on a roll. You better tell me what you lost.
Well, you know, we were talking about what was interesting, what is interesting to the public, which particular section.
Yes. Now, I think that the final recommendation is really the part that is going to be most thumbed and read and mulled over and discussed in the clubs and pubs of South Africa. And what I was saying is that I was hoping that the error about the Glenister judgment, which is in Volume 1, where the majority judgment, which binds the state and still binds the state, is described as a minority judgment, and based on that misdescription, a rather fanciful recommendation was made. So the hope at Accountability Now is that the Chief Justice will see that there is an error in Chapter 1, and we have drawn it to the evidence speaker's attention, and that error will be corrected, and that the correction will give rise to an endorsement by the Commission that the idea of creating a new anti-corruption body under Chapter 9 of the Constitution is one whose time has come. Because if that happens, then the groundswell of political opinion in favor of that reform of the Criminal Justice Administration is in fact the best way to ensure that the state capture doesn't happen again, and that those who are involved in state capture are brought to book.
Are we able?
Corruption's a funny old thing. People don't do corruption if they think they can't get away with it. But more and more people do corruption if they see that others are getting away with it around them, which is the situation in which we find ourselves today in South Africa.
What was interesting is some number of years ago, Dan Ariely, the psychologist or economist psychologist, ran a couple of experiments. And the one thing that stuck with me was this experiment that he did where he was testing how people cheat. And he would go, let's say, UCLA at on the campus there, and he'd have somebody wearing, I don't know, a Yale T-shirt, cheating. And it didn't impact on the UCLA students. And they'd wear T-shirts so they would identify him as being from another university. But then he would have somebody with a UCLA T-shirt cheating openly. And what they found in that case is the incidence of cheating went up quite significantly. Because when one of our own is doing it and when somebody that we're familiar with is doing it, well, that's a whole different story. Then we go along with it. And we definitely do see that. And we're certainly seeing that, I would imagine, within government, that while everybody else is doing it, it seems to be quite okay.
Yes, no, it's very hard to continue driving Toyota Corolla when the man at the next desk to you is driving a Mercedes-Benz or a BMW. You're both on the same pay scale. You think to yourself, why should I continue to plow the straight and narrow while my neighbor is getting away with the loot that he is extracting from the system? There is interesting research that suggests that in any big population, 10% of the people are incorruptible. That's you, right, me, and our listeners.
Right. Well, thank you for that.
Another 10% is always corrupt. They're not listening to the station.
Right.
And the 80% in between can go either way depending on the circumstances. So,
interesting.
The circumstances,
and that's a big number,
80%. If corruption with impunity, then corruption grows. If they are not, then corruption shrinks.
Very, very interesting. Is there anything sinister in the fact that the findings have not yet been released, that they keep getting delayed? Is there political haggling? Is there something going on behind the scenes, or is this just?
I think that you don't need to look for a conspiracy when time management, late submission of summaries, the logistics of putting it all together, life going on.
Okay, that's really good to hear.
All that stuff. The Chief Justice has got a lot of demands on the time. He's had to sit through the interview for the Deputy Chief Justice vacancy. He's had to deal with the OCJ tender problems. So to expect him to be able to keep up in the face of all of those distractions is asking for the superhuman. He's going to make an application to condone the lateness, and he's going to explain things like the speculation that I've just subjected to. I don't see anything sinister in it at all.
Okay, so that's very, very good news. And in terms of the reaction that we can anticipate?
Well, we've had a reaction in advance from Arthur Fraser. He's obviously so nervous that he is going to be fingered in this report, which I think is going to happen, that he is doing a preemptive strike against our sitting president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who is now required to explain to the FBI why so many dollar bills were found stitched into the furniture in his farm at Pala Pala. So certainly the RET faction is in a state of high alert at the moment because so many of their deployees were involved in state capture. And if there is to be a day of reckoning for them, it is brought a step closer by a recommendation that there be a prosecution of Mr. Fraser and others. The other aspect that is going to be very interesting is the way that the commission deals with the phenomenon called cadre deployment. That's what the ANC calls it. Other people call it cadre deployment.
Yes.
Now, the Constitution is very clear on what needs to be done in relation to employing people in the public administration, the municipalities, the state-owned enterprises, the Chapter 9 institution. You meant to put in place sound human resource management practices and career development practices. What in fact happened is that in a back room at Latuli House, full of smoke, a cadre deployment committee meets and decides who should get which jobs, and that supposed recommendation, which isn't a recommendation at all, it's actually an instruction from the center of power in their worldview, is pushed down the line to the municipality or the province or the state-owned enterprise, and people who are appointed for their loyalty to the ANC are put into positions where that loyalty has turned itself into the state capture phenomenon rather than into the effective and efficient use of resources in the public administration at large. So that aspect is something that will be addressed, because cadre deployment, in my view, is one of the causes of state capture. And if you're going to avoid state capture again, you should at least address the causes of state capture that took place during the Zuma years.
Absolutely right. Advocate Paul Hoffman, director at the Institute for Accountability in Southern Africa, talking to us from Cape Town.